Hey everybody, great news. This is a brand new podcast that I'm launching. It's called The Job Market Shit Show, and I'm going to run a few of the episodes here on Great Monday's feed, and you can enjoy that. But if you want to keep listening, please go over and type in the Job Market Shit Show apostrophe or asterisk for the I into your browser and follow along on the main on the Job Market Shit Show podcast feed. It's also a Substack, so subscribe there. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate it. And with that, enjoy the show. Nat F is a product leader who has worked at tech companies like Asana and Microsoft. They've been out of work for about 3 years, not out of work, but working for themselves for about 3 years, and are trying to get back in, doing some applications. And essentially, I think they have done a good job of summing up the issue by saying that candidates optimize AI resumes to get into the process, and then companies optimize to defend against that. And the companion fact that one of the recruiters I spoke to talks about is that essentially there's so many applications that reading everything has become impossible. And so they need to do some sort of automation. They need to use some kind of, whether it's AI or something else, to just survive. And I think that that's the predicament here. I'm Josh Levine. I spent the last 20 years paying attention to how work actually works, culture, incentives, and the stories we tell ourselves about capitalism doing what it's supposed to do. This podcast, it's me trying to understand what's happening in real time by talking to job seekers and job hirers and what they're experiencing. And then maybe eventually we'll figure out what to do about it. I can't promise any answers, but I am shooting to ask a lot of good questions just to figure it out. This is the Job Market Shit Show. Episode 3. Hey, robot, read my resume? This is about the sheer amount of AI or automation that's happening at the beginning of the job search, and the scanning and the selecting bias that might come with it. One designer that I spoke to, said that there's a tool called JobScan that will compare your resume to the job description and give you a grade to optimize the version you submit to ATS, which I think is something that I've certainly seen and used, and a lot of other folks that I know have used something like this. And then there's also these tools that as candidates that can be used. They're sort of AI first resume tools, and it says, I found 150 job matches. And with a click, you submit, and there's probably only 10 of those 150 that actually fit. And so you've created 140 more elements of, pieces of spam for someone to go through. It is really kind of this sad state that we're in. And I don't know that it's going to get any better. Sherm has reported that orgs using AI in recruiting, most common uses including screening resumes of 44%, writing job descriptions 66%, and even communicating with candidates, i.e., the automated rejection letter, 60%. Evan S. that I spoke to says he understands, he gets the system decline, and it's very clear no one even looked at the resume. And it can feel very frustrating and inhumane. Where we sort of, I think, need to kind of step back and understand that the first interviewer most candidates meet is an AI, it's a form. And what these recruiters and companies are doing in order to do their best to screen out the all of the that bad matches, those bad matches made purposefully or just accidentally, is to try to create a system that will filter, automatically filter, right? So the typical process is there is a job posted on LinkedIn, and of course there's other platforms, but we're using that as kind of the catch-all. And if you apply on LinkedIn, or you get sorted, or you get linked out to a company's direct website, you're getting filtered into an ATS. And that ATS is getting hit with hundreds of thousands of resume applications, resumes and applications, and they have to be filtered somehow. They're routed into the system and they have to be filtered. Like, how do you deal with all that data? It's a human that has been doing that. And so some of the first questions that maybe are important to understand as an applicant is the basics, like what is the location requirement? What's a does it need a fee, do you need a visa sponsorship? Hybrid versus remote eligibility. And if there sometimes there are, you know, there is always an explicit question I have observed around the visa sponsorship. And so that's an easy knockout question. How else do you evaluate location requirements? How else do you evaluate, or how does a company or a recruiter evaluate hybrid versus remote eligibility? And the reason why I brought this idea up and the quote I read about the first kind of interviewer is the form is because screening is happening before a human looks at it. And that's true. That's right. Which I don't have a problem with. What I have a problem with is that if the applicant doesn't understand why they were rejected, and there's not a lot of confidence that it was fair or a mistake, or maybe it was legit. I don't know. And it is a very opaque process. The recruiters are essentially just using rule-based automation to make their job manageable to some extent, to any extent. We don't realize that we've been rejected by logic and not people sometimes. I do know that we're gonna be seeing more and more of employers using automated systems to filter or rank resumes. You know, big companies, Google, Goldman Sachs, McKinsey receives hundreds of thousands of applications. So how do you deal with it? I mean, it essentially says, you know, at this scale, the kind of the automated screening isn't a choice, it's a necessity. And it makes sense if you were to think about yourself as a recruiter, how do you deal with this? And I think that is part of it. If you've used AI for anything, you know that it's going to return poor. Sometimes it just isn't going to give you great feedback. So how can we be confident that it's good at evaluating a resume? Look for these keywords. And it's no wonder that we're, you know, doing this kind of keyword cramming approach. The other problem is that these AI systems are potentially biased and discriminating against applicants. So recently Reuters reported that a US judge was allowed to propose class action alleging that Workday's AI screening tool discriminated against applicants. And the complaint describes that repeated automated rejections were across many applications. And I think the specificity, I mean, there's a number of these articles that I've found around kind of biases and automated employment decision tools and how it is still the company's responsibility to make sure that it's not biased. But I guess I'll go back to this, these systems, the more complex and complicated they become, the less reliable they are, especially if we're handing or the work is being handed off to AI. I think when we start at the kind of simple side, right? Yes or no, do you need a visa? Do you need or will you ever need a visa in the future? Okay, yes, no, sort them out. But once you get beyond that yes, no, and you are outsourcing the decision making to AI, I it just feels inherently unfair. There's so much that needs to be communicated. At what point is it appropriate to start and end the AI or automated or filtering, however you want to put it, part of the process? And the incentives for companies and recruiters is to extend that. I think that we're seeing this with AI in all sorts of ways where we're deploying it. Companies and people, individuals are deploying it in ways that we are assuming it works, but then we find out it doesn't. And so I think the key question is, what is the right amount of automation at the beginning of the process that will enable recruiters to manage their work and their time? And then what's the right amount of human to put into the process? Where should the human show up and sort through and look through? In the old days, it's, if we think about the old days, I think this still happens. You've got your recruiter who is not as well informed as the hiring manager, and they're doing the initial sort. And so we're replacing those folks at the front more and more with the computers, with the automation, with the AI. I don't know if it would be, I don't think it would be easy. I know it wouldn't be easy, but I do think it would be beneficial to be more transparent about, for companies to be, or recruiters to be, or hiring managers to be more transparent about what got sorted. And the incentives just aren't there, but collectively, the frustration and the malaise and the hopelessness that applying for a job creates is, I think, a lot of it just by not getting any feedback in the system. There is no feedback between I submitted and I got this rejection letter almost immediately. Well, how can I learn? Like, how can I do better? What was wrong about it? And if you are unqualified in some explicit or even implicit way, there is no incentive, there's no benefit for the person doing the hiring to say, you didn't get our job because you're missing X, Y, and Z. It takes more energy and there's no benefit to them. Here's one of my key questions for this problem. How can we use automation, AI, to better respond? Or even if we think about candidates as customers, to serve the customers in a way that allows them to understand what happened. And we can be more assured, hey, this got assumed, this didn't. And it might help to give people applying a better sense of how they are doing. How do I don't know if I want to use the term gamify, but how do you make the rules more apparent? It's different for everybody and they're using it in different ways. And I don't think, and I know that we don't know what the consequences are. Most tools are not AI interviewers that companies are using. They're resume parsers, they're keyword matchers, they're knockout logic, they're ranking systems. Nat F, the product leader that I referenced at the beginning of the episode, reflects that there is a distinct difference between being good at getting the interview and being good at the job. And I think that's really insightful. Nat's applied to 50 plus roles. And is essentially, I guess, given up on the digital approach and is essential and is only focused on networked and referral outreach. I think that's smart. Until the system's better, it feels like a losing proposition to try to even just apply online and get into the ATS that has millions of rows of data that may or may not get parsed correctly. Has been episode 3 of the Job Market Shit Show. Hey, robot,
Hey
read my
everybody, great
resume.
news. This is a
So if you'd rather
brand
read
new
or watch the Job
podcast that I'm
Market Shit Show,
launching.
you
It's
can
called
find
the
us on
Job Market
Substack
Shit
and
Show,
YouTube. Just look
and
for
I'm gonna
Job
run
Market
the
Shit
a few of
Show,
the
brought to you
episodes
by Great
here
Mondays and Josh
on Great
Levine. If
Monday's
you have a story about
feed,
looking for work,
and you
landing
can
a job,
enjoy
or
that. But
hiring,
if you
let's
want to
talk.
keep listening,
Email me,
please go over and type in the stories@thejobmarketshitshow.com,
Job Market
and we'll
Shit
send you a
Show
link to schedule a call with me.
apostrophe or
Thanks so much for
asterisk
listening.
for the I. Into your browser and follow along on the main on the Job Market Shit Show podcast feed. It's also a Substack, so subscribe there. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate it. And with that, enjoy the show.